The following program is a CLW83.com production. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and CLW83.com present the NAWC. For nearly a decade, the wrestling podcast of record, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sponsored this week by the following.
We're joined on commentary by the tag team champions. Get your horns up,
yeah, guys. Get your horns up, baby.
Michael,
hey, Michael,
put your horns up.
Can you hear me?
That's a backwards L. You are eliminated.
You thought you guys were putting up L's.
No, put up L's.
We're the champion. You understand what
we don't take
for?
L's. We're like Drake. We don't take L's.
We don't take L's, bro.
Last Monday night, it was the big jamboree. You guys put out that open challenge.
Killed it. That's right. Of course it was exciting. We were involved.
But why didn't you guys put the tag team titles on the line?
If you have a party at your house and someone comes over and breaks all your mom's furniture, are you going to end the party or are you going to let it keep going, Michael?
Huh?
Exactly. End the party.
Look at
We stopped you.
You don't respect your mama. That's your problem.
Hey, right? Action. Do okay, not step on a crack. Let break your mama's
back. Let's talk about. Let's talk about.
Do something you don't do, Michael, and go back to the action. Let's
Got it. Got it. Got it.
I do want to talk about Thursday night on SmackDown, though, when Jey Uso was dressed in the Godly Goodner outfit. Xavier came out in his underwear.
Cheating and kidnapping. Okay. That's real funny.
Uh-oh, cover. Kick out.
That's real funny.
We called the authorities, and they're investigating this crime that was committed against me. But E, let's commentate. What do you have for us?
There's a big Irish whip. Oh, it is reversed. Also with a double back elbow. And we have a devastating maneuver. That is a maneuver,
cover.
Michael.
They've been together since day one, these Usos.
As is noted on their gear, day one, down since day one. Mm-hmm.
So did you guys hold that celebration for Sheamus tonight just to kiss up to him since you left him high and dry at Survivor Series?
Okay, so here's the thing is we did not leave him high and dry. If you watched the match, you would have saw that he was hurt. We tended to our friend.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, because if you don't have any friends, you don't understand anything about that.
Michael, do you refuse to call the action? Is that in your contract?
No, Lee.
I thought you
right
guys
now,
were.
We have some pine cuts.
He's got some
energy. Cover!
There were almost new number one contenders there from the Lucha Dragons. Oh, this match is fantastic.
You guys have to call the covers.
Chin lock.
Don't tell us what we got to do.
You're
telling us what we got to
do? My daddy? I'm your daddy, Michael.
That's the problem. You don't respect your mama, but you want to give commands like you're our daddy, but we are your daddy, Michael.
I'll be your daddy.
Michael,
your uncle.
New Day is your daddy.
We are grown, Michael.
Throw your horn up, dog.
He's your daddy and your uncle.
And your uncle.
Single branch family tree.
Figure it out.
Is that possible?
That's revelation.
And he shot off. We have a whirling dervish.
From Callisto. Here comes Sin Cara with the moonsault.
To the moon.
Amazing.
A little slow there. He could have got in the ring.
James goes to the outside.
Work at its finest.
We have something brewing.
That's Callisto.
Round of applause.
Buddy.
Round of applause for him.
Somebody got hurt, I think.
Someone's hurt.
We need a medic.
Oh, boy.
Sin Cara.
The action does not stop here on Monday Night Raw.
Wow.
Men down.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us in this exciting tag team matchup we have here
tonight.
They're
putting their bodies on the line for you, the WWE Universe.
Wow.
We need
an EMT
out here.
We need something. Yeah. We need something.
Hey, ref, watch.
Where are they going?
What the world?
So much for the match.
Usos, Lucha Dragons. It looks like neither of you won this match due to double disqualification. And if there was no winner to this match, then that means there's no number one contender. That means that at TLC, the New Day will put up their tag team championships against nobody!
Off of pride himself.
New Day rocks! New Day rocks!
And that had to be changed very quickly because we've got enough problems with people being off on injuries and other projects. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the horrendous delay. Welcome once again to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have a few people here at the table. I think I'm going to start all the way on the other side of the planet with Bad News Beeman.
Oh, good God. I didn't know they had JR return, and JR's voice has gotten more terrible. That's just... It sounded like Steve Urkel for a second there.
It's still better than Cole or JBL, isn't it?
Michael Cole, yes. JBL, I will admit, has his moments.
So, let's see, who else have... Oh, yes, somebody who is very relevant for the up-and-coming pay-per-view, the chairs portion of it, our chairman, Brian Henniger.
What it is! So great to be back here on the program. Thank you, Nikki.
Not a problem. We just happen to be recording a day late because hopefully too much happened this last 2 weeks. I can't tell. Next stop, down in the sunny sunshine state, Chris Waters.
You know, I never thought we'd actually get commentators that were even better than Chet Lemon and Black Snow, but there we are.
You know what? I think this kid's on to something. And I'd be remiss if I didn't introduce my legal eagle here, Jason Block.
Yeah, I mean, well, put it to you this way. You know creative is in a bit trouble when they steal the best part of WWE 12.
What was that?
You'll see.
We will get to that. We've got 2 weeks worth of stuff to cover because we do not broadcast on Black Friday because we don't believe in people working Black Friday. Get well soon, Josh Henniger.
Hey, boss.
Oh, hi, boss.
Don't forget you got a sound guy and a recorder somewhere lurking.
Ah, yes. And the gentleman who was willing to put up with that much New Day all at once, Mr. Jim Williams.
Pony. Are you happy? Oh, no, there's the code word. Yeah, we're without a soundboard tonight, so I just had to get that out of the system just so Nikki could feel at home.
Pony. Thank you. And the man in charge of this entire mess and has brought a megaphone to make sure we all stay in line. That would be our chief high muckety muck, Carl Chenier.
Yeah, Daddy, you're all fired.
I want my pension.
I want mine too.
I'm going down to get some of you. See y'all later on.
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
We're doing good, boss.
Great.
Are you sure you want to talk wrestling or do you want to talk Star Wars, Carl, with that voice of yours? That sounds a bit Darth Vader-ish.
Jay, I was going to say, breathe harder.
I was going to say, you know, it sounded like we should be taking orders from Carl. I'd like a double cheeseburger, ketchup, some medium fries.
Jim, he's speaking too clearly for that.
Yeah, no, exactly. He was in the megaphone, I thought.
But it said too clear.
Well, true.
Would you like some extra cheese with that?
Extra cheese!
Edmonton.
Yeah. And we've also got
right here, people. We have a Tony Conigliaro rookie card.
Oh my word. Oh, Nikki has lost the show already. It's only about 3 minutes in. Wow.
Okay, whoever took the train off the track.
Did I just hear somebody say 3 minutes? No.
Nope, I'm leaving. See y'all.
No. Okay. All right, let's try to start, I guess would be the better way to put this. We had a pay-per-view that I actually got to watch from the comfort of, not a couch, but the back porch in Florida, where I actually had some nice weather to go with my pay-per-view. And yes, I'm rubbing it in a couple of people's faces. A quick run through. This was a very safe pay-per-view from a writing and creative perspective. No huge surprises that I can think of.
Except Sheamus getting jiggy with it.
That little bit of mic work was very surprising. And what I really want to say, I can't say on the air.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I think just about. Yeah, what I put in the chat is correct.
Correct. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
I think just about, well, not everybody got it, but most of us said that Ambrose and Reigns were going to be in the finals of the world title tournament, and that was a treat because, first of all, the Ambrose-Owens match was really good. Reigns versus Del Rio was better than it had any right to be. And then Reigns and Ambrose, I expect no less from these two. They've been working together for on and off for close to 3 years now, so they haven't figured it out by now. What else happened that night? Actually, this is the most important. I'll get to the other matches in a second. And that's no knock against the Brothers of Destruction, because they had a wonderful match with the Wyatts.
And they swerved us with who was actually participating.
They did. So we had to give a point back to Stat Boy, and I'm going to have something to say about that in a minute. Anyway, we had that Charlotte versus Paige, which again wasn't as bloodthirsty, as personal in the match as the storyline would imply. It wasn't a bad match. It just wasn't what we were looking for. Ziggler versus Tyler Breeze, another fun match. But the story of the night is the beautiful, and I'm going to say it was beautiful, victory where Roman Reigns, or granted, only the span of 5 minutes and 15 seconds, had that belt in his arms. Ambrose congratulated him and got out of the way. The evil boss, Dr. Levesque, came down and offered his hand. Reigns looked at his hand and looked at Hunter, looked at the hand, looked at Hunter. Spear of death!
And, of course, this was also right after confetti, fireworks, the whole typical WWE celebration.
Yes. So, apparently, that spear was a cue for some big stupid guy to come down and ruin it all, quote unquote.
Yeah, right.
Jason, you talk about stealing from a video game. This is right out of SummerSlam from a couple of years ago.
No, put it to you this way. I'm going to use a WLTI, a We Love to Interrupt line.
Go ahead.
You could smell the Xerox fumes from here. Okay? Right, Jim, if you know what this is. This is the exact carbon copy of the Daniel Bryan storyline from 2013. But here's the big difference. Daniel Bryan Roman Reigns was nowhere near as over as Daniel Bryan was. And the fact is that at this moment, he still isn't.
And you can't portray Roman as an underdog. You can't use that tack. Roman is designed to be a badass. And to get there eventually. He is going to get there. And yes, keep throwing obstacles in his way so he can break them. But this one's a little tough to break, and he's not a happy camper. And Sheamus, for the first time in a little while, is actually wearing a suit.
Well, that was a week later after the announcement of the fact that he is going to fight Reigns in a TLC match in 2 weeks from now. I believe. Is it 2 weeks or a week from Sunday?
I'm hoping
to see him.
Live research, ladies and gentlemen.
It's next week. I think it said December 13th or December 17th. I don't know.
December 13th, yeah.
Yep. Okay. So, you know, that was pretty much immediate, where Reigns decides to take a page from Batista's book and say, congratulations, but I want my rematch.
Yeah.
So, before I go too far into Raw, I'm going to go ahead and look at the scores, which I know you guys are so excited about hearing. Despite the predictability of this pay-per-view, we have a couple of threes in here, which I have no room to argue, complain, or point and laugh, because in one case, I'd be pointing at the damn mirror.
No kidding. Okay.
It's apparently I swerve myself. Anyway, 4 points. That's where the boondoggle is. That would be Chief High Muckamuck and Brian and Sidey and Jason and Ethan and Verm.
Yike. Okay. Whoops.
So you're all stuck at second to last. The only 5 I see in here is from 4th, so he's off his game. 6s would be Chris Waters and Shane. And surprise, 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 and he wasn't even on it this time around. Yet somehow, some way, ladies and gentlemen, your Survivor Series Fizzleweight Champion is Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Boo!
What was that?
We shouldn't have let him have Harper back.
Yeah.
But yeah, his was the only wild card that played. Sheamus cashing in and winning. Because mine was specific that Sheamus was supposed to cash in during the match. There was a couple of suggestions that Kane was going to turn. He did not. For the anniversary of The Undertaker, you know, I was thinking that Undertaker was going to be passing the torch. Then I remembered this is The Undertaker.
Yeah, who in the hell do you think you are?
I mean, we will, you know, there are some, he will be happy to put other, he will put over new talent. But this was his freaking 25th. This is like telling somebody to lay down on their 25th birthday. Come on, man.
Yeah, the only time you want to do that is, well, that's for any of the After Dark, actually.
34, anyway,
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
that was what happened with most of the wrestlers back when Sonny was wrestling. But anyways, I'm just sorry.
I thought that was 69.
Yeah.
34 also applies.
But I thought what was very cool in the presentation of The Undertaker was the coffin vid screen of the different versions of The Undertaker.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe was also on Fire, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. But that was very cool. I mean, that was a greatest hits match, pretty much.
Yes. Yeah.
And we got a repeat of a spot from WrestleMania in there too.
Which part was that?
Bray doing the spider walk and then both the brothers sitting up during it.
which is still awesome. I don't care. Although I like the first version better, where Wyatt spider walks towards Taker, Taker sits up, and Wyatt just kind of withers to the floor. So we get all that out of the way, and the only thing I have to talk about from the Raw After Survivor Series is that it was a musical episode. as our three doofuses, better known as the New Day, decide to try to have a country jamboree and supposedly an open challenge, which you hear Michael Cole calling them out about on our fine intro tonight. Thank you, Jim. How much doofus can you cram into a 10-minute segment? Oh, my goodness.
I don't know where they get it from. And you want to know what I think it is, and I'm dead serious. The best comedy is organic comedy, okay? As you'll find out in this week's episode, this week's Raw, when you had – or was it Miz TV with Lana and Rusev talking about certain things? Oh, no, it wasn't Miz TV. It was Miz TV.
Yeah.
And that was just forced and nasty when the New Day just – they have legit comedic chops. And I bet you they do a lot of things that don't go – that aren't approved by the writers. Or at least they are. They just do it their own way that makes it funny.
Well, one of the things that I think they have been doing is I recognized some of the material during their commentary run from this Monday's Raw. The Big E joke, you know, he's your daddy and your uncle, came from that 17-minute improv they did. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they kept it going for that long without any pauses, I think somebody said, yeah, let them do what they need to do. The whole love rhombus nonsense with Lana and Rusev and Ziggler and Summer Rae, it was already played out and they decided to go back and talk about it. That was the mistake. And then when they tried to talk about it, nobody really wanted to talk about it. So,
except a very eager Ryback when he came out.
Well, that's because he was there to steal the spotlight and try to get a feud going. Poor guy. Poor big guy. The other music, speaking of music, Ryback, well, Slater did something stupid.
In other news, water is wet.
Yes. First of all, Heath Slater is still thinking about, you know, is still claiming that he is some sort of musician. And at least he was trying for country, because West Virginia and rock and roll music just doesn't mix. So he comes out brandishing a guitar. Ryback comes out because he ain't impressed. Slater is stupid enough to try to kabong Ryback and hits him in a muscle. That expanse known as his back. That you can land aircraft on. Heath Slater was 35. Anyway,
oh, jeez. Yeah, he got crushed.
Yeah, no, he lies. Heath Slater never went platinum.
And then here's the funny thing. The next night in, I believe it was Pittsburgh, or someplace, it was in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Guy by the name of Brad Maddox, who no longer works for the WWE anyway, because of what he did last Tuesday. What happened was, this was in Indianapolis, I'm sorry. He called the Indianapolis crowd pricks in a dark match. In a Rolling Stone interview, which was just published today, he admitted he went off script. And he tried to go into business for himself. And immediately got fired in the back.
Then he knows at least he knows he knows whose fault it was.
Exactly. Yeah.
I give the guy bloody points. I mean, if I got given the cookie cutter crap that the WWE writers have been giving these guys lately, I'd go off script myself.
Here's the thing, though. Can you afford to lose your job going off script when you're doing a dark match for a seat or a C show?
Well, no, of course you can't. But I think where Brad Maddox's sort of thought process went was, oh, if I go off script and try and like get the crowd to hate me, that might actually get me off this C show and maybe up to a B show, hopefully.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, but instead it ended him getting him out the door.
Well, it just it reminds me of some needless censorship I remember from a late WCW show where they were talking. All I know is that Buff Bagwell was involved, and they were going to test him for something, and they were actually going to use a needle, and they bleeped prick when it was being used in a non-derogatory context.
Wow! That's like the AOL censorship with the word breast back in the day. You remember that?
Same idea. It's so facepalm. It's so facepalming. So, you know, to Mr. Maddox, I'm sorry that you got fired over, you know, calling somebody a prick. I figured it would take a much, you know, much ruder word to get you out the door like that. Oh. What else happened on Raw? Ah, yes. Jack Swagger is trying to salvage his career. As he shows up, and he's using Feud against ADR.
So far, it's effective.
I personally like it. I think it's a good push for him.
Plus it has that one thing that you really love, Nikki, continuity.
Yes, I'm very happy that the continuity has been called into this. And because we all had the same thought that Jack Swagger did. What the hell, Zeb? And I'm still asking that question. I still don't have an answer. But that means I'm going to keep watching, even though I don't see Swagger having a chance in hell of beating Del Rio.
Well, there is one chance, but we haven't gotten to that part of the second Raw yet.
The only chances I was giving him was slim, fat, and none. But
I was giving him since Del Rio sort of has allies now. The end of his U.S. title reign will end in reigns. Let's just say.
What was that?
Sorry, my iPhone. I'm an idiot.
Oh, but Jesus.
If you're talking about Jack Swagger, all I can say is the Swagger Soaring Eagle still stupid.
I miss the Swagger Soaring Eagle.
Yes.
I also miss Edge.
Though you'll be seeing him pretty soon, believe it or not.
Yes, that's something that we hadn't covered. WWE Network has been talking about new shows and new episodes for current shows, such as the Stone Cold podcast. The one thing that does have my interest is the Edge and Christian show that totally reeks of awesomeness.
Yes.
I'm interested to see what they go with this show.
All I ask is Muppet Edge and Puppet H.
Yes.
Please.
And they announced, let's see, some of the shows they announced, of course, you said the Stone Cold podcast, which is, they taped two episodes, with one with Shawn Michaels and one with Ric Flair, which was at his ranch, if I'm not mistaken.
You should have sent a helicopter to come get me. Where the hell are we?
Yeah, okay. This new series called Ride Along, which is basically, you know, two wrestlers in a car. Basically the PG version of a road trip. Because yep. we all know what really goes on in the car.
Trust me, this is sanitized for your protection.
And then, of course, as you said, the Edge and Christian show that reeks of awesomeness and other good stuff that's going to be on there. So, and I don't know if we talked about it while you were around. You know, the WWE Network is one of the top five streaming services on the entire internet right now.
It's because they knew that if they were going to do this, they were going to do it right. And, oh, yes. Brian, your prayers have been answered. Have you seen all the old wrestling that's been added to the network?
I have seen it. I am marinating in it very happily. And color me shocked that they actually put Smoky Mountain in. Because I thought with the
I thought with the Rebel Flag furore we've been having over the past few months that that would never make it. So I am happy to be wrong in this situation.
So, you know, we got Smoky Mountain. In fact, we got Stampede stuff.
Yeah, we got more AWA. We got USWA. We got Global Wrestling Federation. We've got. Do we have more World Class or no?
I saw the little video that I had seen. They showed World Class, but I don't know if that meant there was more or it was just a matter of fact that it was part of that list.
Either way, and we also got some more AWA, which is making me hopeful we'll get a new pay per view. Well, new to the network anyway, coming up very soon.
I look forward to that. It's good to see that, you know, they're getting all their libraries put together and they're filling out their content quite nicely.
And I think I have a hunch of why that is, besides just being the Christmas season. They have those new gift cards that they have out now.
Yes.
They want to make it worthwhile to people who have not joined the network yet. You say, here, get this. You've liked all that old wrestling. Well, here you go. Go watch some old Saturday night, WCW Saturday nights from 86 and 87.
Which, you know, people will say, yes, please, we will.
And by the way, that is, excuse my language, I'm saying, it's freaking brilliant for those three-month cards. Those three, and I believe it is hard to get them at Walmart now, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Are they a Walmart exclusive?
I think, yes, I think they're Walmart and the WWE website.
Okay. So, dear Santa Claus, even though for those of us who already have the network, we should be able to apply it to our subscription.
That's interesting. I don't know if you could do that yet.
I'm just throwing that out there. I touched on it briefly earlier with Ms. TV and the talk about the Love Rhombus, but yes, Rusev is back, and it's a good thing. We need wrestlers back, because with Orton out, with Rollins out, with Cesaro out, and Cena not coming back for another couple of weeks, boss, can you hit that button for me, please?
Do you hear it? Is it doing anything?
Ladies and gentlemen, anything and everything you have read about WrestleMania 32 up to this point is scrapped. They got to start all over again. I'm guessing the majority of that is because of Rollins. I have no idea what they had planned for Orton. Cesaro was getting somewhere and he got hurt. And Cena, well, hi kids. Oh, hi kids.
And we still have no clue on the Daniel Bryan situation as well.
Exactly.
Man, I'm telling you right now, I have a funny feeling we're never seeing Daniel Bryan again. Unless Vince is at like panic button point where he's got no choice but to bring Daniel Bryan back, which is now actually.
Yeah.
But I just don't think Vince is ever going to bring him back.
Yeah. They can bring back Tommy Dreamer. They can bring back Daniel Bryan anytime they want to.
Pardon me while I jump up and down happily about the fact that there was a Tommy Dreamer on my television this past Monday.
Yeah, and this past Tuesday, too. And I believe he signed a short-term deal to do some house shows, too.
And part of the deal was he got to promote some House of Hardcore. That was not a WWE-sanctioned shirt he was wearing when he came out to help his brothers, that I'm aware of.
And if I remember correctly, I don't think he has left a wrestling organization on bad terms anywhere, Tommy.
No.
Never.
He left when he went to TNA, he promoted House of Hardcore. With WWE, I saw his retirement match. Okay,
mm-hmm.
With the hot dog cart and stuff. Okay, this dude is actually one of the nicest guys in the business.
He is.
He, I, And I don't think he has made one enemy as far as I know. Nobody. So,
my favorite part of that match, and I don't mean to interrupt you here, my favorite part of that match was he was talking about his kids, and he said that, he says, I got this little girl who's my daughter, and she was asked at school, says, what does your daddy do for a living? And she said, my daddy falls down a lot.
Yes.
But he said, but the one thing she says, he always gets back up. Mm. And that's what I want you all to remember about me.
Aw.
That's true. And, you know, the House of Hardcore, maybe he's going, maybe there's a working agreement to use some WWE talent in TNA. In HOH. You never know.
Hmm. And going with your quote, Brian, it's kind of funny you say that because a couple of days ago I was watching something that was sort of played up to that thing, which was on the network, an ECW show, where it was the Singapore Kane match between Sandman and Dreamer, and he just kept on getting up after Sandman caned him.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yes.
I'll take them both. I'm hardcore.
Yes. Whatever happened to this Beulah thing? He got hardcore, didn't he?
I heard. Okay, I gotta share this little story with you. Is that one of the ECW DVDs? It was hosted by him and Joey Styles, and Joey Styles says, "I hate this man for a very specific reason. This guy has dated a Penthouse Playmate and married a former Playboy Playmate of the Month. Look at this guy. How the hell did that happen?"
That's true.
And Tommy just kind of grinned and says, "Dude, listen, I've got the gift of gab."
yeah, sure he does.
Let me translate that. He makes me laugh.
We're talking a Singapore Kane match of a totally different variety. Yeah. Anyway.
Family friendly. He's got a big stick in his head, Smaggle.
Sorry, Nikki.
No. Should have saw that coming, and I didn't duck. Anyway.
No. But seriously, Tommy looks good. He's actually in a good spot right now, and good for the WWE. I was stunned to see Tommy Dreamer in there.
And just for a point of reference, I don't know if you remember offhand, Jason, but he didn't come out to the theme that WWE wrote for him. I know that wasn't what he came out to.
Came out to a remake of Man in the Box.
Okay. Because that wasn't No Sleep Till, that wasn't No Sleep Till wherever.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I don't know how, this is from Wikipedia, so I don't know how accurate it is, but the theme was called Alone by Exit to Enter. So take that for what you will.
Okay. Are you talking the one that they played this
week?
Yeah,
it's 2015 to present WWE. That's what it's
okay. Saying. So I knew that was a different one because I was like, first of all, I didn't know who was coming. Actually, when they started playing the music, I wasn't sure, and I was thinking it was going to be Spike. Because they were talking, since we were talking family. Music plays. Cool. Who dat? And to that, Tommy, I say, I'm sorry I didn't recognize the music. All right. What else have I got on this list here? Okay. That's true. If that mess turns into a full-blown 8-man TLC, it figures the one night I don't have the soundboard, so I'll have to emulate. Dude.
Yeah. throw him in the mix? Why not?
Dude. Ladders? Tables?
Well, that is true. But then, let's think about the scenario here, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the Wyatt family, a bunch of psychotic, psychopathic, and just deranged people. There are two people that are not there currently that fit that description. One is Dude, RVD. The other, made a living and a whole career off of being suicidal, homicidal, genocidal, and just being all out crazy.
He won't pass medical.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
He ain't getting past wellness. So I think we only have one choice, dude.
This is true. Damn you, WWE Medical.
No, excuse me, WWE Medical, I mean, Sabu comes to the test, he limps in, sorry. And, you know, the sirens go off.
Yeah, he just sets off stuff like a metal detector when he walks in for the testing. He's not even going to know.
Oh, come on, Jason, you know better than anyone. As soon as he walks in the building and coughs, they're like, security alert, security!
Security, yeah, exactly, right. Oh, because... Let to put it to this way. Sabu, I think, is the only guy besides a guy by the name, I think, of Abdullah the Butcher who cared about his body less than anyone in wrestling. And I don't mean that in a, you know, just crazy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Except maybe Matt Hardy, who took that shot lead a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
okay. Jesus. That wasn't anybody's fault except whoever was supposed to gig that guitar. Because it did not break correctly on Matt's face.
Yeah, 36 stitches later. Oh, oof.
And they said Jeff was the crazy one.
All I can say is I hope Matt's baby was not in the front row watching that. That was not good.
No, that looked extremely painful.
Yeah, his face looked like you'd busted a bottle of ketchup over his head.
It just, you know, it's a broken mood-o-meter.
Oh, speaking of broken mood-o-meters.
Yay.
Guess who is back in the Indies?
Oh, yes. This is the bad news, good news that I've had to deal with in our time off. Solomon Crowe is no more. He has stepped away from WWE. He asked for and was granted his release. And the indies trembled.
Yes. Yes, they did. Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sammy Callahan is back in business.
The Callahan death machine has been restarted.
Not only has it been restarted, it just went full pelt because this guy came out as a surprise opponent for a world title match and beat the guy in a minute.
Where was this?
There's a video of it. It says Sammy Callahan returns and pins world heavyweight champion and wins the title.
That wasn't the Jake Crist match he was supposed to be doing.
No, he's fighting Jake Crist very soon. I saw it on his webpage, on the Twitter feed.
Yeah, at Cage of Death 17 in CZW.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold on, I'll go find the footage and post it. Hang on.
Yeah, Sammy Callahan is back. Full-on wrestling death machine.
Yes, it was at a AAW.
AAW, okay, AAW, That's a Midwest territory that I've heard of, and I'm glad that, you know, I'm just glad that he's going to continue to pursue this. I don't know if I'm debating whether I should coax him into trying to start promoting again, but at least, you know, stick with the business, take a year and bounce around for a little bit. And then when WWE gets even more desperate than they are right now for crew, they might give you a call.
If I can kind of give my two cents here real quick.
Okay.
I think it was a case of, and I hate to compare them to someone else, but Taz, where it's like a big fish, small pond. The problem is he was thrown into an area where now so many of these quote unquote indie darlings are starting to come in. Places like, when Samoa Joe and Kevin Steen to use his old name and Tyler Black to use his old name and John Moxley and all these other guys who were indie darlings and are now on a big stage, when you've got all this great talent surrounding you, there are sadly people who do get lost in the shuffle. And sadly, he was one of those cases. But I don't think this is his only chance at the big time.
No, he will be back. He will be back.
Yeah, okay. I made a mistake. He didn't win the title. He just kicked the head off the champion. That was my bad.
Yes, and that was Eddie Guest. That's true. And it was Eddie Kingston. And he's fighting Jake Crist, I believe, tonight in Ohio right now. And he's also going to be fighting, what is his name? Oh, yes, Dalton Castle at 2CW. Okay.
And I was wrong about the Cage of Death match. Apparently, it doesn't say who he's wrestling. It just says he's going to be at Cage of Death. So we're not quite sure what's going to happen. It'll probably be a case where someone's going to challenge him to a fight, but we don't know what's going to happen yet.
I think Sammy's going to do fine.
He'll be fine. He will be fine.
But by the way, did you also notice just some other stuff that Mick Foley has been writing a ton of? It was very interesting because Mick Foley was writing a couple of blog posts about WWE creative.
And wasn't being terribly nice.
No, that's being kind. Yeah.
I admit it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he tore him a new one, and I wonder if that's why they're trying to shut him up by hiring his kids.
Well, apparently one of the kids was hired in September, but he hasn't officially start working until January because of other commitments first.
And, you know, then his daughter seems to be on a similar line. And Frankie, I see you trying to sneak in behind her. Nepotism doesn't, never mind.
And I will say this, I've seen pictures. Mick's daughter is tall for a woman. She's taller than Sergeant Slaughter, I think, in one picture.
And Frankie ain't much taller than me, so... But yeah, I think part of the reason they're getting hired is to shut Mick up. You know, whether it is via placation or nepotism, take your pick. Oh, goodness. Let's see. With Rusev back, Rusev needed something to do. King Barrett needed something to do. Sheamus was champion, so he really didn't need anything to do, but he needed some help. So the fella got himself a stable.
This is where
Jason's WWE 12 thing comes into play.
That's true. Let me explain it, Brian. This is a little Pixel Nation history for you.
Go for it, man.
In WWE 12, there was a stable led by our NXT chairman, William Regal. I believe it was Barrett, Drew McIntyre. You know, God, why are you still TNA? Anyway, Drew McIntyre, Barrett, Sheamus, and William Regal. They called themselves the United Kingdom. And they were the biggest
heels. I remember that, yes.
Okay, they were the biggest heel stable. So, this one is Alberto Del Rio, Sheamus, King Barrett, and Rusev, the League of Nations. Now, for those who, by the way, in the words of Paul Heyman, for those who don't know what the League of Nations are, Google it, bitch. I don't have to tell you everything. Okay. You know? Okay. And that's their new stable.
And they are continuing the tradition of anyone but you, Roman. To which Roman's getting kind of sick of that. And it's my understanding, and forgive me if this happened on SmackDown, but I did not get a chance to see SmackDown. Roman is getting himself some allies along with some immediate family to assist, as the Usos will stand by his side and so will Dean. They're supposedly going to get the official name, The Family, down the line. Whether this happens or not is up to speculation. I hear a comment. Oh, okay. Not relevant. Stable Wars at the top. Chris, can you weigh in on this for me?
It's a tricky slope to do. I don't know how well they'll do it, but if it does, one thing I will say, if it changes up things and moves the focus away from authority versus whoever they want to put in the fray at the moment, because even though Stephanie and Triple H were supporting Sheamus throughout the beginning of the show, they were conspicuous by their absence after the League of Nations thing showed up, and I didn't see SmackDown, so I don't know if they did anything there. So, if it moves to just like League of Nations versus Roman and the Family, then I wouldn't mind it for that, just to be a different thing than just the authority, have them stay in the background for the whole thing.
Okay.
Plus, I don't see it really lasting that long, really.
Maybe
through Rumble, and that's about it. Especially since, even with the League of Nations thing, they're still doing their own things right here. Like, Del Rio's got his little thing going with Zeb, and at least going by the Michael Cole interview this week, Rusev still has his thing with Lana and whatever they're going to do with that.
I have no idea why they're revisiting the Love Rhombus. I really don't.
They didn't mention anything but Summer Rae's thing, and Rusev just gave Michael a death glare. You say, you calling me a liar? He said, okay, I'll drop it right there.
So we shall see where it goes from there. Okay, what else do I want to touch on? Just for Jim, season 5 is over. You should be happy.
Yes, but did you do it? Oh, by the way, have you seen all the New Day commercials for, like, Shop?
I've seen a couple of these, and more doofus, please. More and more and more doofus. Since they've done all their clearing, shop. What's good for Christmas?
Yeah, let's see.
Well, while she researches that, I do have to give some sad news for fans of the original ECW. Might remember this guy, even though he never won any titles or anything. Hack Myers has passed away.
So. Oh.
I'll get more information here. One second.
Austin's got a new shirt.
Sorry, Jason.
I was going to say, Austin has a new shirt.
I didn't need to hear that.
I will say this. I do love Dean Ambrose's new shirt that just says, "Does it look like I have a plan?"
I'm looking here. Let's see, emoji shirts, the red New Day shirt.
Sheamus 515. Oh my god.
He actually wore that shirt, and I'm like, really? Let's see. I think we already talked about this. Owen's DVD, Heart of Gold. Let's see, is that actually out? Or no, it's pre-order. It is shipping December 8th.
Do you like the new Roman Empire shirt that's there?
Let me get back there.
Sorry.
The gray one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that better because the slogans that they've been trying to force on him suck.
Yeah, the Roman Empire is, I think, the best one they've got.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far. I actually like this new Undertaker one that they've got here for celebrating his 25th anniversary. Undertaker's new The Dead Man Will Live Eternal t-shirt.
And I want to say this. Some of these shirt ideas they've got, I've already seen them on, like, barbershop windows. So they stole some ideas from them.
Steal from the best.
Like the Million Dollar Man tuxedo, that was on, you know, that was on that website for years before they made it.
Actually, no, I stand corrected. Undertaker's new Sand of Time t-shirt, that one rocks. Sorry to New Day, but.
Well, I mean, you know, I was being specific when it came to Roman Reigns shirts. And face palms aplenty for the I took a finisher from somebody t-shirts.
I got shell-shocked by Ryback. Funny. Not.
No. Although, I know a lot of people who would proudly wear a shirt that says, Paul Heyman cut a promo on me.
You included.
Yes. As a matter of fact.
Oh, I like the first of all, the Beaston, there's a new Beast Incarnate shirt.
Mm-hmm.
For Brock Lesnar, that looks like the Roots of Fight shirt, the Roots of Fight company. I don't know if you've ever seen those vintage kind of shirts.
Yeah, I've seen. They have a handful of those, don't they?
Yeah, one for Austin, Lesnar, and Orton right now.
Okay, which was also the immediate shirt that they did for Samoa Joe when he first arrived. What was the other shirt that I was going
to... There is a Paul Heyman cut a promo on me shirt. Holy shit! I know.
Yeah, that's what I was commenting on it directly. They also did a Compton joke with Straight Out of Dudleyville. Actually, I think the shirt's cute. I like it. Straight Out of Dudleyville, and on the back it says, "What's up?"
Very nice.
So... plenty of stuff on people's Christmas lists. For those of us who are mourning while Cesaro, you can have your own Cesaro on a shelf figure. Complete with his own Andre trophy.
Okay. I want to say, because I can't find that. Where is it at?
I'm half joking. They've released a new a Cesaro action figure, and they do have one holding the Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy.
I've seen that at Walmart. Okay. All right. Never
and
mind.
They've got... they painted hair on his chest and... yeah, I gotta say it. Omitted his nipples.
Very funny.
I also think that they edit those in whenever they show him on any media material and make them smaller deliberately.
I must say one thing though, I do like that they have actually now have a replica of the Kane World's Greatest Director of Operations mug.
Oh no, those are just back in stock. They put that out. I think the same week that he actually had it in his hand. And it sold out. They had to they'd actually sold out because I was supposed to get it for Jim. But, oh my goodness.
That's my Christmas present, I assume, right?
Well, let me see what I can do. Which reminds me, I got to do all my online Christmas shopping.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, you know, I would ask for, like, a gift card or money, but your last name is Heyman, and...
A gift card isn't a check.
That is true. No, I don't need anything. I'm good.
Well, Jim, if you want to get that from Nikki, you have to get what I'm putting in the chat right now for her.
Okay, and let me see what we have here.
Only if it lights up. I'm serious. Every one of those little gems looks like a freaking LED.
I can get you a picture of it. It'd be real pretty.
Okay, but
you don't have to get me anything.
But speaking along those lines, it's a good thing that Chris has brought that up because I saw an interesting poll on WWE.com just now. And Vince, if this doesn't scream out to you, I don't know what will. Ah, bloody hell. Real life, goddammit.
It's Vince calling you saying, stop talking about me.
Well, speaking of polls, while you're taking that call, I got something for you. Apparently, certain members of the WWE Universe, the advisory board as they're called,
mm-hmm.
have been sent lists about potential pay-per-views they might like to see in the future. One pay-per-view that has been thrown about, that you can vote on if you get this if you get this list, is a WCW one-night stand.
Hmm.
In before Nikki won Scott Hudson shirtless on the call.
No. I just want Scott Hudson at the table beating the holy hell out of Michael Cole.
Mm-hmm. I got all one right. Even better for you. The WWE also issued an interesting survey about comparing the WWE product to NXT. Okay. The survey was designed to see how familiar fans were with them, what aspects they enjoyed, and asked them to rank the enjoyment factor of the same aspects of the main roster. One of the survey questions asked fans to which of the following terms described NXT and then the main roster: energy, authentic, hardcore, fantastical, unique, hokey, excitement, dangerous, wrestling, PG-rated, shocking, quality, and there's about another 50 more I can go into. And then they asked what they liked and disliked about the NXT products in WWE. They saw how much money they spent at the NXT live event and merchandise as the main roster. And the survey asked whether WWE or NXT did a better job at the following, like seeing good rivalries or matchups, feeling part of a large group of passionate fans, and other questions. This is very interesting, Nikki, to me. Really interesting.
Well, this is on the heels of that that mega poll about, you know, asking questions about the about WWE products, specifically Raw, which, you know, I saw it and I didn't receive it in the mail, so I didn't. It wasn't something that I could weigh in on, but I filled it out on a lark, and I'll go look that up for you in a sec.
I know it was in one of our recent chats, Nikki.
I can find it. Just needed to respond to something real quick.
Sorry about that. No, and to answer your question, no, it wasn't Vince McMahon. It was some telemarketer asking me if I wanted to support People Power, and I said no.
Hear you, sir. People Power. Hey, well, it could be worse. It could be Admiral Original. So.
Oh, okay. You're getting closer to my city, but that's fine. That's okay. you're getting warmer. Jesus.
Okay, so this was, you know, the mega poll, you know, was the one that was asking, why did you stop watching Raw? Or if you have stopped watching Raw, why did you? And
because, does it have because your storylines are boring as batshit?
Well, some of the stuff I put in there, before Raw airs, how frequently do you check to see which superstars or divas are going to appear on Raw? And I said, I don't. How often do you see advertisements for upcoming episodes of Raw? And I said, all the way through SmackDown. Where do you see advertisements about upcoming... how often do you see them? All the way through SmackDown. Where do you see them? Yeah, on SmackDown.
do you sense a pattern here?
Well, what are some reasons why you fast forward during recorded episodes of Raw, like commercial breaks? Is a match not exciting? Superstar divas, not you're not interested in backstage interviews or talking segments? And I said commercial breaks, one-sided matches, commentary table shilling, video packages that they've aired for the second or third time, and recaps. Anything that I've already seen already, I don't need to see, you know, you don't need to hit me over the head with it. Do you watch Monday Night Football? They ask you this outright. I said not as much as I used to. What was the other... you guys all know my joke about that. Half the reason, you know, people... They have a hard time getting people to watch SmackDown. That's because it's, you know, half of it is Raw again.
Yeah, it's Raw light.
Yes.
Which is like Raw, but only one calorie.
So, but yeah, all of these polls going around, why you stopped watching, you know, the poll about Raw in itself probably came from Vince. The one comparing WWE and NXT sounds like it came from Hunter. And he's going to scroll. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, as if Hunter doesn't, as if Paul doesn't know what people like about NXT, it's because you've got the best talent, you've got good storylines, and they actually do wrestling. Like, there's not like 20-minute friggin' promos being done in the ring.
Yes, but Hunter needed it in writing before Vince was going to listen to him.
Well, Vince better start by listening, because like I was saying about earlier, they've got a poll going at the moment. Which WWE Championship do you want to see be redesigned? And by a freaking landslide, it is the Divas Championship everyone wants changed. Vince, are you listening?
Seriously.
The pretty princess belt.
Yes. The Sailor Moon title needs to go away.
No, yeah, that's too girly even for Sailor Moon, trust me. It's more of a Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders right there.
In the name of Nikki, in the like name of the moon, in the name of the moon, get this crap off me.
Yeah, really. Yeah, pretty much that's Cardcaptor Sakura crap. Okay, if you really want God, it was awful.
That's a reference.
Yes, that is definitely a reference.
That reference and Chris's reference both hurt.
Yes. Yes. I just lost my man card on that one. Anyway, but here's the interesting thing. You know, the WWE has this problem every fall. They build from WrestleMania, the first 6 months of the year, for the most part, are awesome. Ups and downs, but awesome. Okay? You have the Rumble, you have WrestleMania, and you have SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
They then, all of a sudden, for some reason, creative takes a nap for 4 months. I don't get it. I don't understand it. They know every year Monday Night Football is coming. They know every year that the new fall TV season's coming. Are they that lazy or are they that stupid? Sorry, I'm sorry if I'm monopolizing. It's just frustrating. I'm sorry.
Well, here's the thing about it. You know, the argument that I've heard from some loyalists, and I've read a few of these arguments, is that, you know, well, you can't even bother competing with Monday Night Football. Bull crap. Memphis competed with Monday Night Football for 20 damn years.
How'd they do, though?
They did great. They sold out the Mid-South Coliseum on a regular basis from the 70s to the 90s. That's 11,500 people in the Coliseum almost every week in Memphis, Tennessee, during the early days of Monday Night Football, back when they would often have really good games.
And I'm gonna call apples and oranges in this case, because that's one market.
Okay. You know what? You're, yeah. I'm just saying, though, you can do it.
oh, it can be done, but it's, you know, WCW managed to do it for a couple of years, and TNA tried and failed miserably.
That's because of who was running it. But anyway,
it's, I think it's, if to answer Jason's question, it's laziness, because nobody can pull numbers like Monday Night Football anymore. Nobody. There's too many other choices out there and too many people loyal to the sport of football. And
I agree because we even have our own high chief Muckety Muck here in the comments, like, just can't give a football crap while we're doing wrestling core. God damn it, Carl. but no, I do agree though that it's just laziness. Like, I'll be perfectly honest. If WWE allowed writers from overseas or people that wanted to do writing for them to work from home overseas, give me the job. I guarantee you, I could do a better job than all of your writers combined and give you higher ratings within that 4-month period.
The trick, though, is how much of it is actually the writers, and because you have to remember, everything goes filtered through Vince at the end of the day.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that is the problem. That's the reason why Sasha Banks is currently in the state she's in at the moment as well.
Yeah. Jim, I don't know if you could pull up your mic for a second. You talked about that for a second. You talked about Sasha.
Yeah, actually, when you talk about Sasha, actually, the foremost authority on that might be Mrs. Foley's baby boy. Mick Foley was recently on the Stone Cold podcast, which I know you guys referenced a little bit earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to quote from a recent Facebook post of his. He said, "I read an article about the podcast containing these words of advice for WWE boss Vince McMahon concerning female wrestler Sasha Banks. Quote, she's living the dream. She's got this character that works, and I think she's been messed with. If you have someone who is there, who is firing on all cylinders, and I'm talking to Vince, leave her alone and let her do her thing. You're 70, Vince. She's 23. You don't speak to everybody out there. Just because you don't get it doesn't mean it's not there to be gotten. I am momentarily stunned, having forgotten just how honest I'd been in my talk with Steve. Then silently I congratulate myself for having the testicular fortitude to say the type of thing that really needed to be said, and smile." That's what Foley more or less said on his on Stone Cold's podcast regarding the misdirection of Sasha Banks. And we're seeing that not just with Sasha, but with a lot of talent right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and honest to goodness, that's probably the biggest reason people are tuning out from Raw. In addition to Monday Night Football, in addition to all the bevy of other options, Vince is out of touch, and he's been out of touch for quite a while.
Here's the thing, though, and this is what frustrates me, especially with the Divas division. Like Nikki said, the thing at Survivor Series with Charlotte and Paige, God damn it, that should have been the biggest thing going, because when Paige said the line of "Your brother didn't have much fight in him," the crowd lost their shit. they booed Paige out of the building, and everyone's like, "Holy crap, did she really just say that?" And then seeing Charlotte beat the absolute piss out of her afterwards, that sold it. But fine. Now you've gone back to this, now you've gone out to making Charlotte look like the heel. How does that work?
How does that help anybody aside from potentially the last kicker herself, because let's face it, she hasn't done much of anything since being called up to the main roster, aside from being the third wheel of a one-time three diva faction.
Yeah, and I've voiced my opinion on that a couple of shows ago. That
right,
you got to give Becky Lynch singles matches, and someone in WWE creative must have listened to me because she's getting the singles matches, but you're doing it the wrong goddamn way. it's ridiculous. Like, you have this woman that has the potential of being a badass and was a badass in NXT, but now you bring her up and she's like and she's the Alicia Fox of Paige and Charlotte? What the hell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really. Like, okay, Vince, if you really want people to watch your show, this is what you do. Do what people have been bloody asking you to do for the past, I don't know how long the Divas title has been in portrayal for, but that damn long, 5 years or so. Put Charlotte, Paige, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch in a friggin' Fatal 4-Way TLC ladder match for the Women's Championship. Have Charlotte say, no, I don't want to have this title anymore. I don't want to have this title anymore. And she brings out the women's title. That's it. And then they fight for the women's title at TLC. People will then watch. And
as
put
long
it on
as
Sasha
it doesn't
Banks.
Happen in a gravy bowl match.
No.
Sit down, Jimmel.
Well, see there. Excuse me, Jim. You just gave us the problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I mean this in a bigger way. Yep. There have been moments of brilliance in the women's division. Yeah. It just happens to be on NXT. Okay. Not to spoil my Nikki Awards, but there is a strong possibility that my match of the year candidate may not go to a male participated match. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. But that's as long just, as.
Yeah.
As long as Vince McMahon treats the women up on top as plastic banana tits and a heartbeat, we're not going to get this. We're not going to do it. Women are not just sex objects anymore. Ronda Rousey proved that. Excuse to use a term. She's athletic as sexy as hell. Don't you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, that's what it is. That's the problem.
That's the thing. Vince has always seen women as sexual objects. He has made no disagreement about that. He has even gone on record with saying that. Yeah, he has like exploited women in business. That's who Vince McMahon is. But Vince needs to learn that this is 2015 and we're going into 2016 now. And Paul Levesque gets that. Paul Levesque's taking that into NXT. That's why NXT is better than WWE right now. Because Triple H is evolving with the wrestling business. Whereas Vince, you're still stuck in the 1980s.
Because to him it ain't broke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what he sees rightly in a lot of the signals with the amazing success of the network, and by the way, thank God for that. Okay, the live attendance is up, if I remember correctly. Okay, they are pushing, you know, the athletes, but right now they still got a lot of problems. It's not as rosy. I mean, the deodorant is going to wear off eventually.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they got to figure out what the hell they're going to do for WrestleMania season now that literally everything is up in the air.
Well, apparently Seth Rollins wasn't going to be a big part of the WrestleMania 32 plans anyways. According to multiple sources, apparently the plan was always for Roman Reigns to go into WrestleMania 32 as champion. So I don't know. I do know that probably the only confirmed match so far that people are constantly talking about is Undertaker versus John Cena for his last hurrah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm a bit peeved at, but also I think could be a good match.
I'm not sure how to feel about that.
I feel it's a few years too late, but that's just me.
And I wouldn't have been surprised if Cena was the one to end up breaking the streaks, even since, but Lesnar came back, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
we done here?
We could talk about the upcoming takeover in 2 weeks on NXT if you want to talk about that.
Oh, God. No, please don't. Just I'm sorry. But that card hasn't really gotten much of a draw for me. The only thing that's really good on that card is Joe versus Balor. That's it.
Emma versus Asuka?
Asuka's gonna kill her. Asuka's gonna kill her.
Let's be perfectly honest. Instead of like Dingo ate my baby, it's Asuka ate Emma. There you go.
She's gonna go out on walkabout for a while, is what you're telling me, Maggle.
Pretty much, yeah. It's just another way for Vince to feed an Australian to a bloody American. There you go.
And then if you act right now, I'd love wrestling.
No.
But
what the heck was that?
That was supposed to be. Well, like, thankfully, it looks like Eva's stepping aside. She's just going to be a sort of manager now for the one that actually is going for Bayley's title now, Nia Jax.
Oh, there we go.
And Jason, going on what you were saying before, where you know they take one step forward and one step back. Unfortunately, NXT has done that at the moment with that. Like, no offense to Nia Jax, but. After Bayley had an awesome match with Sasha Banks, that will be my match of the year vote. Having her go against the newcomer Nia Jax, no, doesn't work for me. Sorry.
See, Nia, I won't say that she's at that skill level yet, but I'm getting in with the Bayley Nia feud. I sort of Sting Vader kind of feud thing. I'm not saying Nia's anywhere level Vader was when he faced Sting. Let's just get that out of the way yet. But I'm getting that vibe of the super good baby face versus the monster that just wants to kill her, pretty much thing. Especially since this past NXT, Nia literally threw Bayley through a door on the show. So they're at least trying to make it interesting. Then that was after she murdered Blue Pants on the same show, too.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, yeah, and as if that wasn't a shot from, like, people backstage to Blue Pants burying her like that, damn. Mm. But I think a lot of people here want to go to bed. I'm getting that feeling.
Yeah.
It sounded...
I want to rest in peace.
No.
But, yes, before we go... Shane, I'm going to start with you because normally you don't have anything to promote, but at least I can give you the courtesy.
No, I'll just promote myself to Vince McMahon and hire me for a rider, asshole. That's it.
All right. Let's see. Chris, you've only got one thing to promote, and I could promote it, but I will let you since you're here.
Yep, I've been working on it throughout the show. I'm probably going to get them up this week sometime. tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. It is pay-per-view. We have done up to Survivor Series of 1989. It should be up by the time you listen to this program. We were continuing on to doing it, and during this week I will get back to working on the listings so we can get it up on the CLW83 network as well. It is where Nikki Heyman, myself, and whoever we can get on, watch the WWE network, watch the pay-per-views on there, and we might have to backtrack a little bit if they get that AWA pay-per-view on there. Brian, you're already listed for that one.
Thank you.
And we take a look at all the craziness, the silliness, the goofosity, the doofosity, and whatever else we can do, and whenever Miss Elizabeth takes off her dress as well. And also, for those of you listening before Friday the 11th, I would like you to go, if you've actually watched this show, go to bringbackmst3k.com, and if you can, support this show so we can get 12 episodes. We already got 6 out of it.
Yes.
And I'm donating $85, so my names will be in the credits. Woohoo! So we are currently at, as of the time of this recording, $3,808,734. So we need to get them up to $5,500,000, and we can get 12 episodes a full season and maybe get this show back on a proper air as well.
Okay, let's see who's next. Brian, are you still with us?
I am.
I know you have something to promote.
Well, I just our show that myself and Jason Block like to do every so often. That would, of course, be Pixel Nation on CLW83.com, your weekly dose of video game bits, bytes, news, and reviews. We did a Black Friday preview special back before the holiday. Now we are about ready to wrap up our season. We got some great end of the year stuff to talk about, and
including a really, if I can say it, dick move by Konami.
Yes.
At a gaming awards thing. Okay. Really, Konami? You're that burned by them that you wouldn't allow him to pick up an award at a gaming ceremony because he wouldn't say the corporate line? Really?
Really? Riley.
Yeah.
Riley? Randy.
Yes. Jimmy. No. And one of my early Hanukkah gifts came earlier this week. I am holding a hot copy of my hands of WWE 2K16. I have not played it yet.
Oh, Hanukkah Harry was good to you. Good.
Hanukkah Harry was very good to me.
Which system?
PS4.
Oh, Jason.
Yeah, we need to talk. Jason. Yes, exactly.
Jason, get ready for hours of fun.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
I want to see these matches between you two streamed, and I will do the play-by-play.
Yes, up, up, down, down. Yes, by the way, watch it. Through. By the way, you notice that he is also promoting that on Shop as well. Yes. But
he should. He's got. They've got like three shirts now, right?
Yeah, something like that. But
keep it tight.
Yes, we will be. Again, we're also going to be doing our sort of year in review and get back to what's going to be another banner year for the video games. Oh, and there was another little thing. PS4 passed 30 million in sales about a couple of weeks ago.
Dang.
30 million. 30 million in 2 years. So, yeah, there's that bunch of other stuff. Brian, Pixel Nation, you have a couple of other things you want to promote, your usual sites.
My usual stuff, just two quick things. First, Oddity Archive, theoddityarchive.com, Ben Manott and Pop Culture Ephemera at its finest. Interesting episode this week, very obscure stuff, talking about the early embryonic stages of paid television.
Ooh.
It's a pretty interesting one. In fact, it has the least actual amount of video footage. But it's, I think, the most unique bit of information. So if you want to check that out, you can. Also, as my voice is going here, want to point out Wrestling with Regret with Brian Zane. Great episode up this week where he reviews in its entirety John Cena's first and only full-length rap CD, You Can't See Me. all I'm going to say is...
For the record, I got to see him perform Bad Bad Man live, and it was a lot of fun. However, I was there to see Fozzy.
The greatest rock band ever!
And the only reason they didn't perform is because they would have booed Cena out of the building.
Yeah, they would have.
See, I want somebody to do a review comparing John Cena's one rap album with Macho Man Randy Savage's one rap album.
Well, Brian reviewed that one last season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right before WrestleMania, actually.
I'm sure he did, Brian.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of Fozzy, they are in the UK for one last show. They're just completing another European tour over the last 3 weeks that they did.
Very interesting.
Wonder if Vince will get on the phone. Hey, Jericho, yeah, you done with that bear? We need you in the squared circle. Ditch the bear. He's not that funny. They get tomatoes thrown at him. Yeah.
Vince, we don't bring your bearskin rug on the tour.
Yeah, you're with Fozzy, damn it.
Good thing they don't bring that bearskin rug on the tour. Who knows where that thing's been?
What? Oh,
oh my.
Oh, jeez.
The rock star life.
Excuse me.
Oh, my heavens. Don't give Carl a new play toy, people. You ask for trouble.
No comment. So is there something else to promote? Oh, yes, there is.
Hello.
While Waters is busy getting his show put together for a possible CLWA3 network, as he calls it, by the time you hit January 1st, it won't even be called that.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that change.
But, yeah, eventually, Chris, we will put a paper review on the upcoming Spectrum 1. It's going to take a little bit of time.
Spectrum 1.
Yeah, that was a 12-1 thing, blah, blah, and more blah, blah. Look on the Facebook page, blah, blah. You'll find out more info, blah, blah. Okay.
Speaking of podcasts and what have you, if I may jump in, Miss Heyman.
Oh, please.
Baseball. We finally got around to it. We being me, Jason Block, Jessica Brand, and the return of DC Lundberg. It's touch 'em all time, and the podcast is already obsolete because a couple more moves have been made. welcome to baseball. But no, we recap the World Series, the award winners. We go on not just the manager's carousel, but the general manager's carousel, because there are 8 different teams with new general managers entering this season. It's insane. Also, a couple of big moves. Big pitcher signs a deal in Boston for, at the time, the most money per season ever, only to be eclipsed post-show by Zach Greinke going to Arizona? Huh?
Fail.
Well, they may be a wild card contender now because they've got an arm. What a concept.
No, I say fail because of their new uni combos.
Yeah, well, I do like that they do bring back the old school A in a couple of the unis. Those are nice. But we'll talk about all those wonderful things, and we'll give you an idea as to who will get the call to the Hall as between this podcast and the next one. The Hall of Fame voting, I should say, is going to be done by the Baseball Writers Association of America, also known as a bunch of old crab apples.
Who don't know Jack?
Nia Jax. Mm-hmm. Be listening for that on CLW83.com, soon to be Spectrum1.net, ?
Yes.
Yes, so we can call it Spectrum 1 Network, technically. You never know. But there you go.
Now, quick question. That's the season finale of TEA, right, Jim?
It's the first Hot Stove episode, actually.
Oh, you.
It's Touch 'Em All Hot Stove. Thank you.
Okay.
Because it's mostly Hot Stove talk.
And now that we're here, I can reveal one of the new shows coming in 2016, which is pretty much a rehashing of another show, just called something different.
Mm-hmm.
Down the Tubes will be morphing into something as we'll call Spec Riffs.
I'm still waiting for my clothes to be used, Matthew. Be listening, people. Be listening.
Let's see. Jason, did you have anything to promote in that mess?
Just a couple of quick things outside of all the other stuff that we talked about. Starting in January of 2016, Red State, Blue State will return in hopefully a more consistent format. And we're going to do, because Chico is going away for a little while, I think we're going to do one or two more shows, including the best and worst of everything, WLT, We Love to Interrupt 2015. And, of course, you can listen to all the shows, at least for a couple more weeks, on CLW83.com. And, of course, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher.fm, Player.fm, and Overcast.
And we're coming up. It's two weeks' time. It'll be time for me to present the Nikki Awards, the best and the worst and the craziest and laziest of what was wrestling in 2015. Always looking for suggestions and for some ideas, and you guys have already seen some of the categories. As usual, Wrestler of the Year, Diva of the Year, Match of the Year. Let's see. The patented Holy Shit Moment of the Year and the patented Oh Shit Moment of the Year. Let me see if I can find the rest of them. Whoops, wrong page. Not big ass message.
Big ass message of
it's
the year.
It's an Aztec form.
Remember, it ain't ham unless it's a big ass ham.
That's right, Dave.
Now, while you find that, I will mention that it's fitting that this podcast will be the first official one under Spectrum One.
Woo!
We look to record that, if not New Year's Day, probably the second, which is Saturday.
Okay.
I'm off. Yeah. Well, I'm off both days. I can swing either or.
Let's see.
It's Hollywood Swinger Bagel.
Let's see. Storyline of the Year was the other one, along with Breakout Star of 2015, Breakout Star of 2016. And anything else we happen to come up with. Oh, and random news item, the Brock Lesnar guy did an F5.
My goodness.
Too bad it wasn't Undertaker's shock face guy.
No, but this is just this was just as funny. So I think we're done here. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. So for Shane Beeman, for Brian Henniger, for Chris Waters, for Jim Williams, for Chief High Muckety Muck, for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been putting up with our nonsense for a little over for about an hour and a half. Do continue to do so. We will continue to entertain. So till then. Good night.
Stay pony, my friends.
Who put that in?
Me, baby!
Thank you.